It's recording. You're sure now?
I have no confidence in
She's
that.
New at this. She's new at this.
It says record.
It says record. You're right.
RNC, you have to hear a rocket scientist.
All right. Today's year is being sponsored by Mel David, in loving memory of his dear wife, Sylvia David, Sylvia Chana David Zal, who never missed one of Rabbi Gold's shiurim when she was here in the country. Baruch, and we're going to learn the Lulu Nishmat. She was a lovely, lovely lady. Number one, the parasha is parasha Kitisa, but just so that you should all, if the occasion arises, or you can make the occasion arise, ask somebody a Torah trivia question. You know, I'm taking back the word trivia. There is no trivia in Torah, but an interesting question in Torah. Most people never make it to the last pasuk in Torah. They certainly don't make it to the last Rashi in Torah. But the last Rashi and the last pasuk are related to Parsha Kitisa. What we're going to be dealing with is the shattering of the Luchot. The shattering of the Luchot. God gives the Luchot to the tablets to Moshe, comes down from the mountain. We're going to see what happens there. Because it's open to question. It's not as simple as you may have thought. So what I'm reading now, the last pasuk and a half of Torah, it's talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, the Moftim, the wonders Asher Shlacho Hashem Laso that God sent him to do in the land of Egypt, Lepharo L'chol Avodu L'chol Arzo, against Pharaoh and all his slaves, all his servants, and to his entire land. And the last pasuk in Torah, L'chol Hayod HaChazoka, and the strong hand. And it's not talking about God. L'chol Hamora HaGadol, and all the great awesomeness Asher Osa Moshe, that Moshe did L'Enei Kol Yisrael, in the eyes of all of Israel. And that last Rashi, the one that's underlined, Le'enei Kol Yisrael, what was the great thing, if you're going to ask somebody a question? Faithfully asking somebody, what's the greatest thing Moshe Rabbeinu ever did? So the first thing they'll say is he took Jews out of Egypt. Some will say, no, that's not the greatest thing that he took. He brought them to Sinai, he gave them Torah, took them out of Egypt, took them 40 years through the Midbar, brought them to the gates of Eretz Yisrael. The greatest thing he did, L'Enei Kol Yisrael, Rashi says, Shenisa'ol Libo, that his heart inspired him, Lishbor Haluchot L'Eineihem, to break the tablets before their eyes. Shenema, as it says, For Ashabrein L'Eineihem, and I smash them before your eyes. This pasuk, we're going to get to this pasuk later on in the shiur. This pasuk appears in Parashat Ekev. The story of the shattering of the Luchot appears two places in Torah. One is in this week's Sefer Parashat Kitisa, where it happens. And then in Sefer Devarim, in Parashat Ekev, Moshe Rabbeinu is reviewing everything that took place in the desert. So in Parashat Ekev, he tells them that I went up to the mountain and God gave me the tablets, and we can see that pasuk. It's an extremely important pasuk where Moshe Rabbeinu says, I grabbed the luchos in my two hands and I smashed them le'eneichem, before your eyes. So Rashi says over here, this last pasuk in Torah, that it says that which Moshe did, le'enei, in the eyes of Kol Yisrael, about what does Moshe Rabbeinu say earlier that he did it in the eyes of all of Israel? I smashed the luchos in the eyes of all of Israel. I am the mind of the Holy One, blessed be He, that the Ben Shalom agreed with him. He approved. Shenema, as it says, I'm going to give you a second set of luchos to take the place of the luchos asher shibarto, which you shattered, which Rashi says implies that it comes from the Gemara. Yiyasher kochacha sheshibarta. Shkayach. Good. You did the right thing. Right on. Okay, so here we have a very clear statement of Rashi, and most probably you never questioned it in any way in your life. Of course, Moshe Rabbeinu shattered the luchos. But you're going to find out it's not so simple at all. Watch. Number two. Here is the parasha. Moshe is up at the mountain. God has told him on the mountain, Lechrei, go down. This is not, doesn't appear here, I'm saying it. Lechrei, God tells him, go down because your people have acted corruptly. They have made themselves an idol of gold. Aye, and I'm going to destroy them. Moshe Rabbeinu stay on the mountain, prays to God, Vayichal Moshe. Moshe prayed to himself, Rabbeinu, you can't do it. Why are you going to get angry with your people whom you took out of Egypt? Why should Egypt say he took them out in order to destroy them in the desert? You can't do it. Remember what you promised to Avram, to Yitzchak, to Yaakov. These are your people. And God relents. And then Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from the mountain. Number two, Vayishma Yoshua Kol Ha'om Vareo. Yoshua was outside of the camp. Moshe had pitched a tent for himself outside the camp. There was his Beis, and Yoshua was there. Yoshua does not know what has taken place in the camp. Vayishma Yoshua Kol Ha'om Vareo. And Yoshua heard the sound of the people and its shouting. Vayomer el Moshe, and he said to Moshe, Kol milchama b'machane. I hear the sounds of war in the camp. Vayomer, and Moshe has said, Ein kol anod gibura. This is not the sound of shouting strength. Ein kol anod chusha. It's not the sound of shouting weakness. Kol anod anochi shomea. It's a sound of distress that I hear. Here's the pasuk. Pasuk 19. Vayehi kasher korach el hamachane, and came to pass as Moshe Rabbeinu came close to the camp. Vayaret ha'egel u'cholot, and he saw the egel, the golden calf, and the dancing. Vayicharaf Moshe. Moshe got angry. I will translate it as it is translated here. He threw down the tablets from his hands. He threw down the tablets, and he smashed them beneath the mountain. Pasuk 19. Now, one of the things that I'm going to do on this little journey here, I want to point out certain things. Right now, I'm going to point out one thing in this pasuk 19 that you know, it's not so clear, but it will become clear. It says in the pasuk, "Vayashleich mi yodov." That mi yodov, from his hand, from his hands, is spelled differently than it is read. The word mi yodov, from his hands, should be spelled mem yud dalad yud vav. The yud is missing, which means in a Sefer Torah, where there are no vowels, this can also be read as a singular mi yod. dough. It's written, me your dough, from his hand, singular, but it is read, me your dove, from his hands, plural. There must be mafarshim to talk about it, but when I think of something, there are times I'm afraid to look what anybody else has to say. But I'm going to be dealing with this yodo, as it is written, singular, yodov, as it is read, plural. Now watch. Number three. This is already, after everything is over, the Levishim tells Moshe Rabbeinu, prepare another set of luchos, and I'm going to give you a second set in place of those that you broke. And it says, number three, Vayisol Shnei Luchot Avonim Karishonim, and he cut out two tablets of stone like the first. Vayashkei Moshe Baboke, Moshe got up in the morning, Vayal Har Sinai, he went up to Mount Sinai, Kashet, Tziva Shoto, as God commanded him, Vayikach Biyado Shnei Luchot Avonim, and he took in his hand two tablets of stone. He took in his hand two tablets of stone. Okay? Now, at the end of this week's Seder, it says, Vayisharum Hashem, Moshe was there with God 40 days and 40 nights. Lechem lo ochal, he didn't eat bread, umayim lo shatai, he didn't drink water. Vayichtov al aluchot, and he wrote onto the tablets in Divrei HaBrit Aseret HaDvarim, the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Vayihi bered et Moshe mehar Sinai, when Moshe came down from Har Sinai, ushnei luchot ha'edut biyad Moshe, and the two tablets of testimony in the hand of Moshe, b'detomen aharon, when he came down from the mountain. Then it goes on to say Moshe didn't know that his face, when he came down from the mountain with the luchot, and this is on Yom Kippur, in the first year that they're in the desert, there's a shine, a divine brilliance that comes to his face. He had to cover his face with some kind of a mask. People couldn't look at it. All right. We're nearly getting to, we're already at the exciting part, but you'll see how exciting it is. In Parshat Egev, number five, Parshat Egev, he's telling the story all over again. So it says that God tells him, listen, make an ark. And it says, Va'as Aron Atzei Shittim, I made an ark of cedar wood, and I carved out two stone tablets where Sol Shnei Luchot Avonim. He's repeating the story. He's telling them what happened in Parshat Kitisa, like the first, Va'al Ha'ara, and it went up to the mountain, and the two tablets are in my hand. Okay? You're wondering. What? Big Yod D. What a difference it makes. In my. You're getting the point. I'm going to make a big deal of one hand and two hands. But you have to read that carefully. It says your D, not your die. All right? Let's turn over. This is the continuation in the Parashat Ekev. Vo'efen vo'edeg min ha'har. And I turned and I went down from the mountain, and the mountain is burning in fire, ushnei luchot habrit al shtei yadai. I'm coming down from the mountain and the two tablets are in my two hands. He's describing what happened in Parshat Ki Tisah. Ve'eda, and I saw, ve'inecha tatam la'ashem elokechem, I saw with my own eyes that you had sinned before God your God. Asitim lechem egel masecha, you made for yourselves a molten calf. Sartem aher min haderech, you have quickly removed yourself from the path Hashem tzivah Hashem elokechem that God commanded you. Very important pasuk now. Very important. Ve'et pos b'shnei haluchot, and I grabbed. Yeah. I grasped the two tablets, ve'et pos b'shnei haluchot v'ashlichem, and I cast them down me'al shtei yodai. From my two hands, and I shattered them before your eyes. Okay? Number 7 is where it starts getting very exciting. Something's going on here with the hand. The hand, the hands, we'll explain it all. Yes?
Yes, also I noticed there's a difference sometimes in spelling of
Luchot. This much more there's a lot written on sometimes with two vavs, sometimes with one vav, sometimes with no vav. If I'm going to start dealing with that, I won't have a shit to say today. But it's something to look into. I have a piece here. Number 7 is from Chama Leibowitz. Chama Leibowitz was probably the greatest teacher of Tanakh and Chumash in general in our generation. We were zeichet to have a woman like Chama Leibowitz. If you want to learn how to learn Chumash and how to study the Mefarshim of Chumash, Chama Leibowitz is a must. She is the teacher of tens of thousands of students. Now she says in here, of all things, here is one piece where I want to disagree with her. Unfortunately, a few weeks after I had seen this and disagreed with her, she passed away, so I didn't have the opportunity to question her. But just because I disagree with her on this particular point, she is going to disagree with the Rashbam, and I'm gonna, you know, I still have a little American blood in me. We go for the underdog, you know. If the Rashbam is being attacked, Rashbam is one of the first of Chumash. He was an Einikel of Rashi, Rav Shmuel ben Meir, Chama says she cannot accept the interpretation of the Rashbam. So I hold it's a mitzvah to explain the Rashbam. The reason why it's going to be a big mitzvah to explain the Rashbam made it his purpose in his commentary on Torah to explain the simple meaning of the Pesukim. There's even an unbelievable Rashbam at the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev, where he describes a conversation that he had with his Zayda Rashi. And he complained to Saba that Saba uses Medrash very often, and that you should stick more to Pshat. Of course, whenever Rashi uses a Medrash, it's because Rashi sees it as necessary for the Pshat. But he writes that Rashi said, you know, if he had more time, he would go over and write another Perush on Chumash along the lines of the Rashbam. It's an unbelievable piece, big piece at the beginning of Parshat Vayeshev. So now here, the Rashbam is the one whose flag is Pshat. Watch
how he learns the pasuk in both places, in Kitisa and in Egev. Now, so let's start. We cannot accept that which the Rashbam explained. In the words, Vayashleich mi dove. Okay. The following are the words of the Rashbam. Kishero'o et ha'egel, when Moshe Rabbeinu saw the golden calf, Toshash kocho, he became weak. V'lo hoyabo koach la'ashlicham rachot mimenu k'tzad. In other words, he's weak. Imagine what's happening. He can't hold on to them anymore. But he doesn't want them to drop on his feet. He just had enough energy left in him to push them ahead a little bit so that they will fall a bit away from his feet. Kisheroa ta ego, when he saw the ego, toshash kocho, he became weak. He didn't have the ability to cast them or throw them far from his feet. Shelo yazik et raglav binaflam, kederech kol mashlichei mazal, so that they shouldn't hurt him. They're going to fall on his feet. So what he did was he just got it a little bit beyond his feet, and they dropped. They fell. He couldn't hold them anymore. Does that sound like the pshat in the pasuk? I mean, who is it? Michelangelo? Or who knows? Or Cecil B. DeMille? We've been learning our whole life that he shattered the luchos. Yes?
Is this the Rashbam speaking, or is this
Nachman Leibovitch? I'm reading the words of the Rashbam right now.
The Rashbam.
The Rashbam says, Tarshas Kodomitz, those three lines are the words of the Rashbam. When he saw it, when he saw the eagle, he became weak, and the most that he was able to do was just cast them all, not even cast them, they dropped, they fell out of things. He didn't shatter them. They shattered themselves. Yes?
But in the book of Devarim,
all right, so you're asking, I started all the trouble myself because I began with the Rashi. I began with the Rashi that says that the Rebbeinu told him, Yashakir Shashibarta, good that you broke it. So therefore, we're going to have to arrive at a conclusion that Rav Soloveitchik arrives at. There is a machlokus in Medrashim here, and there is a machlokus in Meforshim. Because even here, the last words of the Chashbam, the Chashbam didn't make it up. The Chashbam says, V'chein ra'iti b'prakim shel Rebbe Eliezer. The Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer from a great Tana, that he didn't shatter them. They fell. They dropped. The Chashbam himself most probably feels that this is a radical way of reading the Pesukim. He needs some backup. Okay? But now the Nechama Leibovitz says, we can't accept that. Why can't she accept what the Rashbam said? So she goes on. So first of all, she brings what the Rashbam wrote late in Parsha Kitisa, in Parsha the Egev, when he repeats the story. The Chain, this is Nechama Leibovitz saying, the Chain uve Kitzur, and in short, the Rashbam wrote the same thing in Chumash Dvarim, Vashabrein, and I broke them, Kilo Atzartikah, because I didn't have the energy to hold them. Kimoshe Pidashti, the Parashat Kitisa, as I explained in Parashat Kitisa. Now, Nechama Leibovitz again, V'nid Alonu, it seems to us, Shehar Rashbam, הנחשב לאחד מגדולי הפשטנים, the Rashbam was considered one of the great commentators of the Pshat, the simple meaning of the pasuk, Hitrachecha mi'od mipshuto shel mikra. Oh, here he has gone far away from the simple meaning of the text. The simple meaning of the text is that Moshe Rabbeinu grabbed those luchos in his hand and he shattered them. Ha'im gotza. She asks, Ha'im ratza katul harotenu kanat chushato ha'fizit shel Moshe. Does the pasuk want to tell us that Moshe got weak? Ha'im selwa nema pasuk. Is that what the pasuk is saying? She'nishmetu haluchot mi'adam. That the luchot slipped from his hands? Is that what the pasuk says? Nireh, shedavka. She says, you know where we get the real picture of what happened? Is when Moshe Rabbeinu himself describes it in Parshat Ekev. Nireh, shedavka, to your shedavka luchot, the sefer devarim. So tell the chaludin at the barash. The description that Moshe himself gives of what happened there at those crucial moments contradicts the words of the Rashba. And here the Rashbam, and here are the words. This is the pasuk. That post b'shtei luchot, and I grab the two luchot for ashlichin, and I cast them down me'al shtei yadai for my two hands for ashabrin, and I smash them le'einichem. Before your eyes. So there are three verbs in this pasuk. Et pos, ashlich, ashabrein. Boy, does this sound completely contradictory to the words of the Rashbam. Nida, it seems she says, sheshloshat ha'pa'alim, the three verbs, shepasuk, in this pasuk, heimo ya'idu ya'gidu, they testify and they tell us, ki b'meloh ha'meretz v'ha'koach, also Moshe Masha also. With all the great energy that he had, Moshe Rabbeinu did what he did. The Lomi Tocha Fisaka Kochot. Not because he had lost all energy. Moshe Tafsam, he is the one who grabbed them. Hishlicham, cast them. Shibram, shattered them. Vlohein, Shenishtabru. Not that they broke by themselves. Quite a. Quite an attack on the Rashbam. So, as I say, I'm going to come to the defense of the Rashbam. The Rashbam's got a point. The Rashbam has a very, very strong point. And we're going to begin with the Malbim on the Pasuk in Parashat Ki Tisa. That's number 8. You know what? Right. I'll read the whole thing quickly. This is the Pasuk Yotet. He comes to the camp and he sees the Egel and the dancing. So of course here, you should know there's a tremendous amount of literature. The Rufarshim discuss something that we're not going to go into today. That could be a sheer 5 euro on the Rebbe Shem up on the mountain told him, your people have made a golden calf. They made a golden calf. It seems like, you know, when Moshe Rabbeinu really believes that it's so, when he sees it with his own eyes, he doesn't break them until he comes to the camp, Vayar, and he saw the Egel, Umecholot, and the dancing, and he shattered or permitted them to get shattered. So the Rambam, the Malbim says, "Hine ad ato lo shiber et haluchot." So you see, well, many of them, of course, we talk about this. What happened now? Now all of a sudden he believes God. Before he didn't believe God. So he says, "Ad ato lo shiber et haluchot." Until now he didn't break the luchot. Ki choshav shezeh osu bavur shevoshesh lovedet. He thought maybe they did it all because he was late in coming down. V'rotzu mamhig v'mekomo. He thought that they had made something to be a leader of the people in his place. It's not real idolatry. Ukshiru, when they'll see Shabbat and Ahav, that Moshe has returned from the mountain, they will cast away the ego and then do tshuva. But when he sees when he came close to the camp, and they saw that Moshe, they see Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu thought he'd come down and they'd see him and it's all over. No. They see him, and you know what they do? They continue with the eagle. Not only continue, they're dancing with even greater fervor with the eagle. B'mecholot mizeh ro'ah, from this, they're dancing around in exhaustion, but they're telling the Rav Hashem that their intention is to rebel against God. U'b'moshe avdo, and rebel against Moshe's servant, lo osu she'yeh talmas u'manhig. He didn't make it as some kind of a figure that is a leader, but not a deity. Rech l'avodah zar, they made it as an avodah zar. Now watch what the Malbim has to say. Oz, then, vayicharaf Moshe got angry, vayashlech miyodobet haluchot, and he cast down from his hand the luchot, his hands. The Malbim has written it out in full, miyodav, v'chazal omru, our rabbi said, and here he's referring to the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer that the Rashbam had mentioned, sheporchu ha'otiot be'et shekaravol ha'egel. You know what Moshe Rabbeinu sees? As he's coming toward the egel, the letters are flying out of the luchos. I want to inject another question that's going to be answered now. Well, we believed all along that Moshe shattered the luchos. Who gave him the right to shatter the luchos? The your luchos? They belong to you? Whose luchos are they? They're God's luchos, and your responsibility is, you're an agent to bring it to the Jewish people. Who gives you the right? Became a Tachlitz Tzadeh. Keep your hands off the Luchos. No, keep your hands on the Luchos. And give it to the Jewish people. What right do you have to break the Luchos? And yet the Tachlitz is telling him, Yashikayach, great thing you did. It's not yours. God gave it to him to give it to the Jewish people. But the Malbim brings up Chazal, say, you know what happened? The letters started flying out of the luchos. Be'et shekarav l'egel, as he came close to the egel. And you know what happened? They became heavy. Valkei nasu kebedin, they became heavy. V'hutzrach l'hachazik otam b'shtei yadav. He comes down from the mountain holding it in one hand, and now all of a sudden, he has to hold it in two hands. And the brilliance of the Torah, that something has happened over here. He is moving from one hand to two hands. And then he can no longer hold it even in two hands. You know how the Torah tells it to us. By using in that pasuk a word that's written in singular, but it is expressed in plural, yodo, yodo. Because that's what's happening in the middle of that pasuk. It's in one hand, he now needs two hands, and then he can't hold it in two hands. You know why he can't hold it in two hands? Because what were once, seconds ago, holy luchos that carried themselves are nothing more than stone and rocks, valueless. He was given the task of bringing luchos down to Klal Yisrael and give them that which has the words of God written in it. The words of God have disappeared. And oh my God, he's not breaking it. He isn't capable of holding it. It falls and it shatters. Watch. והוצרח להחזיק אותם בשתי ידיו, he had to hold them with their two hands, כי הולך מהם הנשמה. Because when the letters flew out, the neshama of the luchos, hanosim otam, the letters are what carry the luchos. No human being can carry the luchos. But when they have the words of God in it, just as the Gemara says, we see it a number of times in Torah, the Oron carried its carriers. The Kohanim that carried the Oron, HaKodesh, were carried by it. The Pasuk even describes at the beginning of Yeshua, when Jews crossed the Jordan split, the moment the Kohanim that were holding the Oron stepped into the waters of the Yarden split, all kinds of crossed Jordan in dry land. And then the Pasuk says that the waters started flowing again. But wait a minute, you have all of Israel on one side and the Kohanim with the Oron on the other side. So the first one saying the Pasuk seems to be saying it. The Oron picked up the Kohanim and flew them across the Yarden. No human being has to carry the Luchos. The Luchos carry them. The Luchos carry not only them, the Luchos carry all of Israel. You hear what the Malbim is saying? The Malbim is really saying what the Rambam was saying. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't share them. They fell. They broke. And where's he reading it? I say that he's reading it in that fascinating word. Red Yodov, his hands, but it's written as Yodov because something is happening in the middle of that pasuk. It can no longer hold it. It falls. It falls. It shatters. Gone. Now what we're going to have, I'll just go back. No, go back in a moment. Let's go to the last page. You know what we have to do now? In order to defend the Rashbam from the attack of the Chama Leibowitz, we're going to have to do something with that Pasuk in Egev. The Pasuk in Egev where Moshe Rabbeinu describes it and he uses three verbs. Vetpos, which seems to mean I grasped or I held on to the Luchos. Vo'ashlichem, which seems to mean, am I cast them down? For Ashabrim, am I broke them? You know what? We can read it a little differently. Watch. This is the way Gold reads the Pasuk. You know, the one from the Israel Center in China. This is the way I read it. Where do we have the word Bet Pos Tanakh? Look at the last page. The wife of Potiphar is trying to seduce Yosef. He turns to run out of the room. Fatit Beseyu, she grabbed his garment. You know what litfos means? Something that you try to hold on to for dear life. What do little ones Israeli children play? Tofeset? What's Tofeset? Catch somebody? You know when you have to catch somebody? When somebody's slipping out of your grasp. The famous statement in the Gemara, Tofasto Meruba Lo Tofasto. If you grab too much, the word litfos means the attempt to hold on to something, but you may not succeed. You see already how I'm beginning to read the Pasuk? But post b'shtei aruchot, if he's having no difficulty holding on to them, it should have said, va'achazik, I held on to the two lochot. No. You know what's happening over here? Moshe Rabbeinu already feels it, and he's telling them at post, I'm holding on to the luchos for dear life. Vo'ashlichem. So that word was bothering me. Some years ago, bothered me a lot. And then I just happened to read, it was also then before Purim. You know, Kitisa usually is before Purim, or around Purim time. So I was learning the Sechta Megillah. Take a look at number 10. The Gemara is listing for us the seven prophetesses, the seven women who are prophetesses. So in that line, the third, fourth word, the top line, Miriam. Miriam was one of the prophetesses. Diksiv, because it says, Vatikach Miriam Hanivia Achot Aaron. Miriam, it says in Torah clearly, Miriam the prophetess, right after they cross the Red Sea, it says Miriam the prophetess took her symbols and she and the women began to sing. Oshiro Hashem Kigogo. So the Pasuk calls her a prophetess, Vatikach Miriam Hanivia, and the Pasuk describes her as Achot Aaron, the sister of Aaron. V'lo Achot Moshe? Isn't she the sister of Moshe? Rav Nachman Amar Rav, you know why she's called Achot Aaron? Because when she only had a brother, Aaron, she told her parents that they're going to give birth to a child who's going to be the savior of the Jewish people. And she brought her parents together. Amram had divorced Yocheved because he didn't want to give birth to children that are going to be thrown into the Nile. Watch. Shehoyso mitnabed kishehi achot Aaron. She was saying prophecy when she was a sister of Aaron. And what was her prophecy? Vomedet. Miriam said, Apida imi shetelet ben sheyoshia Yisrael. My mother is going to give birth to a son who's going to save the Jewish people. U'bishor shenoad. And when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, it malei kol abayit kulo ora. The whole house became full of light. Amad avia, her father got up, v'noshka al rosha, and he kissed her on her head, and he said to her, Biti, my daughter, nitkaima nevuatech, your prophecy has been fulfilled. Watch the next few words. V'kima shehishli chuhu la'yor. How you going to translate that? Did they take Moshe in the basket and throw him into the Nile? Is that what you say? What kind of word is this, the Hishlichu? I saw this word, I said, the Rashbam? You're okay, Rashbam. You know what? I'll give you another word. I remember West Hempstead in the fall. Long Island. What happens in the fall? Why is the fall called the fall? The leaves fall. How do you say falling leaves? Shalechet. You know why? It's something that falls. The leaves fall. Are the leaves cast down? They're not cast down. They fall. V'ashlicheinu me'al shtei yadai. They fell. They took Moshe Rabbeinu because they thought that this child is going to die, and sort of as a last act of near hopelessness, they put him there into the like a leaf that's falling. Where at first b'shnei luchot, I was holding on for dear life to those two luchot, and they fell. Bar Shabrein. So what should he have said now? Should he have said, I didn't break it, not my fault? He's a leader. So he says, you know, I couldn't hold on to them. I'm responsible. I broke them. Before your eyes, you saw that. Is it possible to learn the pasuk that way? And how it is. And how it is. You know what else? If I take you back to all the psukim that we read before, I'll take you back. Go back to the first page. 3, 4, and 5. On the first page. Do you understand what he's doing? In one hand, he marches up the mountain holding the luchos. And here comes one of the great questions of Rasavadeci. He says, which is easier? To carry something when you're going downhill? Or when you're going uphill? Obviously, it's easier when you're going downhill because you have gravity with you. And here he says, we find an awesome paradox. Moshe Rabbeinu's going up the mountain and he's carrying the luchos in one hand. He's coming down, when he comes down from the mountain, he can't hold it with two hands. What's happening over here? Watch. Number 4. The next to last sentence where it's underlined. He's coming down from the mountain the second time. Ushnei luchot ha'edut biyad Moshe. One single solitary hand. Number 5. Underlined. Bo'al ha'ora went up to the mountain. Ushnei luchot biyadi. By one hand. When he's going to break it, or when it's going to fall, it says, V'etop v'shnei haluchot, V'etop v'shnei haluchot, that pasuk that Nechama, V'ashlichein me'al shtei yodai. Okay? Two hands. The hands tell the whole story. So the Chav, the salvations look brilliant. Brilliant. Yeah. And here he uses, this is classic brisker terminology. In the Talmudic terminology of brisk, different things have to be looked at and analyzed from two points of view. One is called chefzer, and the other is called Gavra. As I was preparing this shiur, I thought about it in... I'll take you back for a few moments to a shiur that I gave some months ago. I talked about Avraham 1 and Avraham 2, and Yaakov 1 and Yaakov 2. Avraham down in Mitzrayim is incapable of standing up before Paro. Avram, when he's in Eretz Yisrael, and he finds out that Lot has been captured by the 4 superpowers of the day, fearlessly, instantly, out he goes, and he crushes the 4 kings. At the end of Parshat Vayetze, Yaakov is fleeing, frightened, terrified, from his father-in-law. He makes plans to leave when his father-in-law is away. He takes his wives out into the field and nobody should listen in. Yaakov, at the end of Parshat Vayetze, is a frightened and terrified individual. His father-in-law catches up with him, goes through all of his belongings. Yaakov pleads, I worked for you for 20 years. burned by the sun during the day, frozen by the cold during the night. And what, how does love respond? The sons are my sons, the daughters are my daughters. Everything is here, it's all mine. Then we have enough time, we have a week. From the end of Parshat Vayetze until the beginning of Parshat Vayishlach. Yaakov finds out that Esau is coming toward him with 400 men marked to the teeth. Does he flee? Does he run? Is he frightened? Is he terrified? He divides his camp into two, puts the war footing. He's got to fight. As I said, what's the difference between Avram 1 and Avram 2 and Yaakov 1 and Yaakov 2? The difference is geography. Avram in Mitzrayim is not the Avram in Eretz Yisrael. Avram in Mitzrayim is frightened. Avram in Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov by Lavan, frightened. Yaakov in Eretz Yisrael confronting Esau, different story. So as I was preparing this year, I thought to myself, this is a classic example. The Jew in Chutz Lorets is a chetzer. He's an object. Which means that all sorts of forces come down to bear on him. Doesn't really have the strength and what it takes to stand up truly for himself. The Jew in Eretz Yisrael is not an object. The Jew in Eretz Yisrael is a gavra. A man with strength and with power. This is the way it is. The Rebbeinu tells Avraham Avinu, Lechecha go, me'artzecha mi'meladetcha, from your land and your workplace, El Horetz, to the land, Asher Arecha, that I will show you what you can be. The Jew in Chutz Lorets is an object, a chefza. The Jew in Eretz Yisrael is a gavra. Stands strong, tall, mighty. The Rav here says the following. When Moshe Rabbeinu on the mountain is told, Lech Reid, go down, because your children have made a golden idol. All of Moshe Rabbeinu's hopes are shattered. He becomes a shard of a human being. There are all sorts of forces at that moment beyond his control that are working on him. He's going down the mountain. He's not just physically and geographically walking down the mountain. Moshe Rabbeinu is bent and broken. He sees everything that he was working for crumbling before his very eyes. He's an object being battered from pillar to post. Moshe Rabbeinu has spent time on the mountain, and God finally tells him, Solacha, make a second set of luchos and come up. Moshe gets up in the morning. There's hope. We're starting all over again. Moshe Rabbeinu runs up the mountain carrying the luchos in one hand, because he is a man with purpose, with goal, with objective. He's got to do it. That kind of human being is not an object. That kind of a human being is a human being with purpose, with objective, incentive. He's going to do. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu can carry the whole world in his hand going up the mountain. But when he's broken and battered, when his hope is shattered, the luchos are going to fall. The luchos are going to fall. They're not going to make it. So here it is. Shabbos in the morning. Last page. Shabbos in the morning. I never noticed this is something I never noticed before. You'll see what I'm talking about this. What do we say? The Shemona says Shabbos in the morning. By the way, you may never have noticed, but you're going to notice that. Every day, the Shemona Esrei, we say the Amida prayer for Shabbos, for Mincha, Maariv. Day after day is the same. And Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur, and Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, Shachris, Mincha, Maariv, the same prayer. Except Shabbos. Friday night, we say, Arto Kiddushto, you sanctified this seventh day. Vayechulu Hashemayim Boros V'chol Tzvoim. We don't repeat that Shabbos in the morning. Shabbos in the morning, it says, Yisbach Moshe, but not those chelko. Let's read this. Yisbach Moshe, let Moshe be happy with that which was given to him. Ki evet nemo koroslo. You called him his faithful servant. Your faithful servant. Klul teferet v'roshen o tafalo, a crown of glory you gave him. V'amdol panecho, when he stood before you on Har Sinai. Wait a minute. Mincha is going to be a completely different prayer. Ato echot, v'shimcha echot, you are one, and your name is Umi Kamcha Yisrael, and who's like your people, Israel? Goy echot, but it's one people in the land. Avram, Yogel, Yitzchak, Yedane, yeah, a whole different Shon Esrei. So I'm not going to give you all the Torah on this, but basically there are three great Shabbatot in history. There is Shabbat Bereshit, meaning the very first Shabbos that the world was created. By Yechulu Hashemayim Boros, Friday night, we talk about the very first Shabbos of creation. The second great Shabbos in history, Torah was given on Shabbos. So Shabbos in the morning, Shon Esrei is talking about Moshe Rabbeinu receiving Torah at Har Sinai. The next great Shabbos is going to be the Messianic era, Yom Shekulom Shabbos, a day that's completely Shabbos, a period in history that's all Shabbos. That's what Mincha is all about. But now watch the next sentence. Let's go back to Shachris. We're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu coming down from the mountain. Ushnei luchot avanim horid biyado. I looked at the English translation. I nearly fainted. Hello, everybody. Boker Tov. Do you see the English translation? Is there anything wrong with the English translation? In his hands? The pasuk is clear. As the tefillah is clear. Shnei luchot avanim horid biyado. The whole purpose is that when he gets the second luchos, and it says it three times in Torah, he came down with the luchos in one hand. I suspect that some this is taken from the Koren Chumash. All right, who will appoint Iron Nose and Chuck to get in touch with Koren and tell them that there's a mistake? Do it. Because you know what they're going to respond? Maybe somebody already caught the mistake. But when I saw it, I pushed it. Hey, it's such a crucial mistake. Crucial. It's just not the translation of Shnei Luchot Avanim Hodit Biyado. The Chatov Behem Shminat Shabbat, the Chen Chatov Behem. And in those Shnei Luchot Avanim, we're told about Shminat Shabbat, and so it also says in your Torah, incidentally, I'll just say this very quickly in passing for a number of reasons. If you finish Yisrael Moshe, what would you expect the tefillah? By the way, you can ask this question, many people, they won't have a clue. The question will never even occur to them. If we're describing Moshe Rabbeinu coming down from the mountain with the two luchot in his hand and in them is written, it says, v'chatup ahem, in the luchot, it says, v'chirat shabbat, v'chein katup v'toratach, and so it says in your Torah. Shouldn't we have expected that in the tefillah we would quote from the luchot? They don't quote from the luchot. The Shoah of Bnei Yisrael at HaShabbos, incidentally, appears in Parashat Ki Tisa. That's not from the Luchot. Why don't we quote from the Luchot? If you say he's coming down with the Luchot at his end, Zachor is Yom HaShabbos HaKashi, Shesh is Yom HaTav, and Sidi Kol Matav, and Yom HaShabbos HaShem HaGevah. Yes, I'm afraid that somebody might stop making Kiddush in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. That's not the point. It says that he's coming down with the Luchot in his hand, and it says in the Shmira Shabbos, V'chen katu b'torah teva, quote from the Aseret HaDibro, but no, that's not what they did. Our rabbis were brilliant. You know how brilliant they were? Tefillah is always, always the tefillah of Klal Yisrael, not the tefillah of an individual. Shabbos, as it appears in the Aseret HaDibrot, is speaking to an individual. The Shomru Hanei Yisrael as HaShabbos is talking to Klal Yisrael. That the Shabbos is not something that belongs to each individual Jew. It's the treasure of the Jewish people as a whole. And in Shmoneh Esrei, we only talk about that which is related to the entire people. And more than that, you know what we learn from the Shomer Nevi'ah of the Shabbat? We learn the halacha that not only do I have a responsibility to keep Shabbat, I have to help a fellow Jew keep Shabbat. And from here we learn that if a Jew is ill, I can be mechal Shabbos in order to heal him on Shabbos. And the Shomer Nevi'ah speaks to all of Israel. The Luchot, Zachor Yom Shalom, V'Asiso, you individual, Asiso Kom Lachteva. Over here, V'Shomer Nevi'ah Shabbos is all La'asov B'Eini U'Vein B'Nei Yisrael. This is a covenant between me and the children of Israel. Okay, so we threw that in. Anyway, I think that I can rest my case. I think that we have defended the Rashbam. We have defended the Rashbam quite admirably. And that ultimately the truth is, as Rav Soloveitchik said, it's a machlokas of midrashim. There are two ways to look at it. He shattered them, or they fell. Rashi learns one pshat, Rashbam and the Malbim learn another pshat, and they can read it into Pshuto Shel Nidra. On the contrary, I've convinced myself so much that I'm learning correct pshat, I don't understand the other side anymore. Doesn't what it posts in fact mean? Grasping onto something that I'm losing hold of. For Ashley Kane doesn't have to mean that I cast it out. They didn't do that with Moshe when they put it in a basket into the river. Ultimately, the great idea that emerges is what the Rav said. Moshe Rabbeinu going up the mountain to receive the second set of luchos can run up the mountain. The human being who has purpose and goal and objective knows where he's going. Nothing will stop him. But the one who's lost his will, his goal, he doesn't know where he's going, what he's doing, is not going to make it too easily through life. But Moshe Rabbeinu, one hand. Okay, that's it. Very cool. Before they catch us over here, they're going to catch us on the camera. Yeah.